Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, the citizens of Northern Ireland seem almost certain now to face a December election as parties hurtle towards a Friday deadline, unable to find a way to get Stormont back up and running. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin told the Dáil today that the Irish government would fully pursue its consultative role in non-devolved Northern Ireland matters. Meanwhile, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Chris Heaton-Harris, committed once again this morning to calling an election if Stormont isn't reinstated by Friday. So the question, I suppose, remains, do the institutions have a future if Stormont can't be restored and if power sharing isn't functioning as it should be? I'm joined now by Colm Eastwood, who's leader of the SDLP and MP for Foyle, and by Alex Kane, who's commentator and formerly director of communications for the UUP. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. I might come to you, Colm Eastwood, first of all. Am I right to discount any chance at all now, at this point, to get Stormont up and running before the Friday deadline?
I think you are right. The DUP could, of course, go back to government at any moment, and they're choosing not to. They're pretending they have some influence in the negotiation between the British government and the European Commission. That negotiation will go on, or it won't go on, and it won't have anything to do with what the DUP do. In fact, actually, if we call an election now, the Europeans, I think, will step back, and there'll be very little negotiating done this side of Christmas, when actually everything that we're hearing tells us that we could have an agreement between those two sides before Christmas, and that would be very positive. But to call an election will make things worse, not better. It'll solve no problem. It'll just make problems exacerbated.
Could it strengthen very unionist numbers, I wonder?
No, I don't think it will, actually. I think we'll be there'll be some tinkering around the edges in terms of parties won a different number of votes. I think it'll probably suit Sinn Féin more than anybody. But we've had an election. You know, Michelle O'Neill has been elected to be the first minister. That mandate needs to be respected, and we need a government. That's the bottom line. An election won't solve anything. It'll make things worse. It'll make actually the DUP's position of wanting a resolution to all of these issues more difficult to get to. So I just don't get what this government is thinking. I think they're out of ideas, and this is they're just doing this by the
Let me bring in Alex Kane for a second, Colm. Do you think there's a sneaking hope within unionism, the parties in Stormont, that they could improve their chances in an election? They have nothing else to lose, Alex.
Well, in one sense, they have nothing else to lose because there's no movement on the protocol. I mean, the whole DUP's decision to boycott the Assembly is because they want a resolution, not just it removed completely. It has to be something that they can buy into. That's not going to happen anytime soon. They've pinned all their hopes on the protocol bill, and Colm will know this because he's over there. It's stuck in the House of Lords, and even if it fails in the House of Lords, comes back to the Commons, it would be next June before there's any chance of movement, and that would require the Parliament Act. That's not going to happen. What the DUP want to do more than all, I think the DUP would accept they're probably not going to come back as the largest party. I think Sinn Féin, I think Colm is right there, I think Sinn Féin, this election would suit them, they have the edge in it. What the DUP wants to do is win back. It lost 40,000 votes to Jim Allister's TUV, which is a more hardline form of unionism. Geoffrey Donaldson wants to win that vote back. He wants at the end of this election to be able to say to the Secretary of State, to be able to say to the British government, you asked us for a mandate. You asked us to prove that we still had support for our stand. Our manifesto said we would not be going into government until there was resolution of the protocol. We have increased our mandate. We have increased our vote. We're still not budging. What are you going to do about it?
And isn't that when the DUP in particular are at their most infuriating best, if I can use that phrase, really? I spoke with Sammy Wilson on the programme yesterday and put all these points to him. And he was absolutely resolute in his conviction that for Stormont to be re-established, the Northern Ireland Protocol would have to be changed fundamentally. Now, history tells us, Alex, they will not change or resile from that stance until it is changed, like it or lump it. And that's when they're at their best politically. Am I right or wrong there?
Well, in one sense, they're at their best politically, and they're certainly at the best when it comes to the drama of politics. But if you look back over the past 10, 15 years or so, the DUP doesn't have exactly a whole line of, you know, success. It couldn't stage a concert based on its own hits because it doesn't actually have all that many. Its problem now is that it has been let down by three prime ministers in a row, and I think this new prime minister, Rishi Sunak, I think he's going to be much more problematic for them because he has no emotional attachment to them. He has no emotional attachment in terms of delivering to save them. So yes, while they might come back with an increased mandate, they still have to face the fact that the fate of unionism over this protocol is not in their hands. It's in the hands of the British government, and the British government is going to do them no favours.
And the problem then, Colm Eastwood, is maybe the time for DUP-style resolute politics is over, and the time for compromise has arrived. And if they continue to stay out of Stormont, I mean, your statement today calling on joint government or joint authority has been shot down by the TVU, I believe. But you might explain to people how you're trying to move things forward almost despite the DUP.
Well, I suppose, first of all, what we want is the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement to work. So we want the DUP to come back in. We want them to compromise. They want them to work with the rest of us, and we're all on for that. But we cannot have a situation where we end up walking into direct rule from London, where only one community is really represented in, you know, the administration of government in the north of Ireland. That is totally against the principles that underpin the Good Friday Agreement. So there has to be a proper role for the Irish government in that scenario. We don't want to get there. What we want is a resolution to these difficulties. But the DUP should recognise, first of all, as I think Alex has said, I talk to the British government every day. The British government are not going to do the DUP a favour. They're going to do what they have to do in terms of the international markets and the need for calmness between them and the European Union. They're not going to do this on behalf of the DUP. That is just over. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, but
DUP
your idea
should recognise that they should get back into government now and work the levers of power that they have, compromise with the rest of us and get on with it. But if they don't, I think it needs to be made very clear to them that there is an alternative that recognises, it isn't within the Good Friday Agreement, but it recognises the principles that underpin it, which means that all communities should be respected and protected and represented. The only way to do that I can see is that the two governments jointly work together to administer government and all that.
But that went down like a lead balloon today in unionism.
It might well have done. Yeah, but you know what goes down like a lead balloon with everybody else? The DUP locking everybody else out of government when we could act, when we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis and we can't get money into people's pockets because of government in place.
Let me bring in Alex Kane on that. Do you think that's a runner in any way, Alex, in unionism?
Well, certainly not in unionism, and I don't think it's a runner right now. I think that if we go back to the 2017 to 2020 period, which was the last hiatus for the Assembly, it wasn't direct rule that was brought in. And I think if we don't get any resolution on the Assembly this time from the election, which we're not going to get, it's not going to be direct rule in full-throated form. Mm-hmm. It'll be a form of hybrid direct rule where the civil service, as they've done on previous occasions over the past 25 years, they will basically tick the boxes, keep the machinery oiled, keep things ticking over. And the Northern Ireland office with the Secretary of State and the Minister of State will nod things through and sign things off. I think we only get to a serious discussion, and I'm not knocking Colm's point, by the way. I'm simply saying we'll only get to a serious discussion about what follows, our joint authority, or you know how the Irish and British government would deal with Northern Ireland. That only happens if there's a collective recognition, a collective acknowledgement, a collective agreement, if you like, that the institutional structures of the Good Friday Agreement, namely the Assembly and the Executive, have collapsed and cannot,
I mean, that seems obvious, Alex. That seems obvious to everyone looking at Northern politics for the last while. And I just wonder, Colm Eastwood, if we're in a checkmate situation here. Joint authority has been shot down by certain sections. Stormont can't be re-established. An election, you say, won't change anything. There won't be any direct rule. And this hybrid situation that Alex has referred to, which is right, I mean, there's nobody disagreeing, I tell you, that probably will happen. But that's completely unsustainable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is unsustainable. And remember, we're in a very different place now because what we have now is a massive cost of living crisis. We have a massive hole in the budgets in Stormont, a bigger hole in the budgets at Westminster, where there's major, major decisions that are going to have to be taken to steer through all of this. I think that'll be very difficult to be done by civil servants. Whatever happens, and again, I keep saying this, we want an Assembly back up and running, and anything that happens in between times has to be, you know, a temporary. But right, we need to be seriously thinking about this. We cannot leave leave all of this over to the British government or civil servants. We need proper partnership government, ideally run by people elected in Northern Ireland. But if it can't be done like that, you know, we cannot any longer ignore the Irish government's role in this, and we have to be very clear with people. Unionism no longer has a majority in Northern Ireland, and all the other traditions need to be respected and represented.
Okay. Come here, before I let you go, do you have your posters ready, Cullum?
Well, they're ready and all, unfortunately. I mean, we don't want to have to put them up, because I think I would rather have politicians going to work in Stormont to deal with the crisis that we're in right now rather than forcing people out onto the street to vote again. It just makes absolutely no sense.
Okay, we'll book you in right now, Alex, for the analysis in Belfast in December. Look, we'll leave it there for the moment. Alex Kane and Cullum Eastwood, thank you both very much indeed.